Now, through entertaining friends and family over the festive period, apparently the average Kent household will spend £169 on festive food and drink. And, of course, when it comes to the drink, the vast choice available can be pretty daunting, which is why I'm delighted to say Oz Clark returns to us here at BBC Radio Kent. Afternoon to you, Oz.
Good morning, Jipat. Now, you guys in the country may get up earlier than me. This is still good morning. Hey, I just listening to your weather, you know, and it, I was right back on the top of the cliffs at Dover, looking down at the ships, looking over to Calais, seeing France glistening in the distance, and then saying to myself, it's only an hour and a half to the Zetland at Walmer, walking all the way, having a couple of pints, maybe three, a pie and some chips, then walking all the way back to Dover. I just, that's the kind of thing I used to do a lot when I was, well, I didn't have the pint in the Zetland, but when I was a kid, Dover Cliffs. I still walked Dover Cliffs more than anywhere else in the world.
Really?
Yeah.
And why is it? What is the attraction, do you think?
It was
apart
just,
from the booze.
Being brought up in Kent. My dad used to take me there just to sort of, he used to show me France. He used to go up on the top of the cliffs and we'd look down at this wonderful harbour at Dover, full of life and excitement, boats going in and out. And he'd say, over there. He said, look over there. And you'd see the Cap Grenet or whatever it is. And then you could see the little dip where Calais is. And he said, that's where it all starts, he said. That's where the warm south starts. And that was my dad talking to me when I was a 4 or 5 year old boy. And then, you know, and we wouldn't go to the Zetland, obviously. We'd probably go and have, you know, some tea in Elam or Barham or somewhere.
Yes.
But,
yeah.
But it's, and ever to this day, I go, I suddenly think, you know, I've got to go down to Kent again from London. And I drive down either to Canterbury, go to the cathedral for a bit, and then on to Dover or round the marshes, over, you know, Old Grove Ferry, all those old stomping grounds. And I am as happy as can be.
It's so nice to hear you recalling your days as a boy. I just wonder, how much do you recall of filming the Big Wine Adventure? Because half the time you look drunk out of your head to me.
Well, I mean, if anyone can drive you to drink, James May can drive you to drink, I tell you. Trying to teach James May. Firstly, of course, he refused to learn. Mm. And then he decided he knew more than I did anyway. And he's now a world expert on everything to do with drink. Everything to do with wine. He knows more than all the winemakers in the world. He knows more than all the grape growers in the world. He certainly knows a lot more than me. He's a complete world expert. I mean, I am basically on bended knee before his knowledge.
Well, he trained at the Jeremy Clarkson School of Knowledge, so he's entitled to know everything about everything.
Of course, Jeremy Clarkson's another person who, I'm sure, 10 minutes with Jeremy and he'd know everything about wine as well. But I wouldn't actually get a word in edgeway, would I? So maybe he wouldn't have a chance. He would just soak it. Osmosis, by a process of osmosis, Jeremy would take hold of my brain and just absorb it into his, if he has one, and I believe he has.
Oh, now come on.
And
now.
I believe he has.
Yeah.
No, actually, I actually think that he's one of those people who, and James is like this as well, he can take any subject and write 1,000 words on it. And you think, what a great piece of writing. Mm.
Yeah.
They're both like that. They're very, very good, those two.
Well, whilst we've got you here, let's talk about the Christmas dinner. Which wine is best to complement the Christmas dinner? Assuming we're all going to go for turkey this year, which isn't necessarily true, I know.
But let's say that the majority of us are. And let's say that Bill Ash at Staple has actually run out of his lovely dry white. Have you tried that just near Wingham?
No, I haven't. No, is it good?
Bill Ash, a lovely, lovely sort of farmer-type chap. And Staple white is really lovely stuff. If you're over at sort of Biddenden way, there's some... Biddenden's actually got some... It's a grape called Hooksleraber and Bacchus. They're funny old grapes. But Kent does grow them extremely well. Of course, if you're up by Tenterton, you need to just pop by Chapel Down. And you're now seeing one of the most modern and forward-looking wineries in the whole of Northern Europe. It's absolutely fantastic. Because we forget, I'm going on, this is a hobby horse of mine, the North Downs, the South Downs, Dover Cliffs, look over to Calais, the chalk continues. Kent used to be joined to Calais 50,000 years ago or something. It's exactly the same ridge of chalk that creates the vineyards in Champagne. And they then go off down to the vineyards of Chablis, same limestone chalk, across to the vineyards of Sancerre, then they go up over to Portlandville, back North Down, South Down, through Hampshire, Dorset, Surrey, Sussex, and Kent. And one day, I'm going to get that ridge of chalk between Ashford and Maidstone, and I'm going to, southwest facing, I'm going to get someone to plant some Chardonnay and some Pinot Noir there, and it's going to be some of the greatest sparkling wine the world has ever seen.
I heard a report earlier today that said more and more of us are waking up to champagne as a breakfast at Christmas. It's all right, isn't it?
We must be doing
very well.
I can see what they mean, but actually, I think champagne would be a bit sour. I, You know what I'm going to have at Christmas?
Go on.
Now, I've got a slight obsession at the moment, Pat, is cocktails. And I've started making these like margaritas, mojitos, caipirinhas. And there is, if you don't mind me saying so, just for a second, I've got some sort of drinks products out on the market, and I've got an ice shaver and I've got a bar blender. Now, the ice shaver, I thought this would never work. And I talked to the chefs up at the BBC Good Food Show in Birmingham about, you know, products and things. And they said, oh, yes, you always got to keep sending them back. Keep sending them back until they're what you want. So we sent this ice shaver back about 5 times, and it now actually works.
How does it work? What's it do then?
The point is, it's got a very powerful motor and it's got very, very strong steel blades. You shove in lumps of ice. Now, British ice is not very good. American ice is much colder than our ice, unbelievably. And it can stay cold much, much longer. So if you're shaving ice, it's got to be properly shaved or it's just slush in the bottom of the glass. And amazingly, this thing actually shaves ice properly. You shove it in the bottom of a cocktail glass, it's still, there's no water, it hasn't gone to slush. You then put in some tequila or some Cointreau, a little bit of lime and salt and that stuff. You got a margarita, or you put in some mint leaves, you crush those up slightly, some lime, some rum, and a little bit of fizzy water if you really want to dilute it, and you've got a mojito. I mean, honestly, it's boys' toys. I know it's boys' toys, but everyone comes to my door normally and they expect me to stand there with a glass of white wine. Well, at the moment, I'm saying, come on in. Come into my lair. I'm going to make you a mojito. I'm going to make you a caipirinha. Look, I'll get over it, but that's what I'm doing at the moment.
Brilliant. Well, thank you for inviting us into your lair today. And we'll talk again in the new year, no doubt. Oz Clark, good to talk to you again.
Thank you, Pat.